Blog Talk Radio.
Search me, oh God, and know my heart today. Try me, oh Savior, know my thoughts, I pray, see there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and
search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
God, in view of the mercy that you have for me, I want to right now offer my body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you, my Lord, for I know that this is my spiritual act of worship. And I don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but let me be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Then I'll be able to test and approve what your will for my life is.
Welcome to your place. Tonight, Wild Bill's going to bring us a message entitled, Can You Be Bound and Not Know It? We hope you share our shows with your friends and that you can find encouragement with some of the shows that we air. We're always open to topics to discuss and guest speakers for this show, and we've always been a little surprised at the people that say they have a calling to preach but not interested to sharing a message where they're not in front of a group of people while standing behind a pulpit. We understand that it's a little harder to pray for that anointing when there is nobody to feed off of in a message, but here you have the opportunity to reach a much larger audience. Also, it gives you the opportunity to practice your calling. Tonight we have a message that Wild Bill preached in Franklin, Tennessee a couple weeks back, and tonight you will get the teaching points off of that message. This is a message that fits the time we live in, but to all that are struggling with the day-to-day life in your walk with God, Bill uses a lot of transparency in this message to show you that this message was for him too. We pray that you're blessed by the word tonight and it uplifts and encourages you. And you can download any of our shows for free and you can share the links to all of your friends. At the end of the show, we open up the mics and all you have to do is push 1 on your phone and we'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number when we put you live on the air. Well, take it away, Wild Bill.
Hello, Starla. Hello to everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. We want to thank you for being with us tonight. And as Starla shared, I'm going to be bringing you a message that I preached just a couple of weeks ago back at our church. You know, I have people send me emails and message me all the time wanting to know how in the world it is that I can be used as a preacher or a teacher or in leadership position in church with the things that I did back when I was younger in my life. And that's a good question. You know, we have a tendency sometimes to want to act like that those things didn't exist. And I can understand how that, you know, many times I hear people talk about that their parents did something to them or a grandparent did something to them or just something awful happened in their life. And it was one of those things that they say established their identity. It was one of those things that they just never can overcome. It's one of those things that they just carry that burden forever and ever, and it just basically ruins their life. And I'm of a mindset that is a little bit different than that, that when you get to looking at things in your life, you have a choice. Now, when you're younger and things happen to you, there's a lot of times that these choices are harder to see, and you may have things stay with you for a while, but there becomes a time in your life to where you know the difference between right and wrong. You can see things going on in life, and you can say, I want this, and I don't want that. And there's just a place that you have to draw a line in the sand and say no more. If there's something drastic, negative has happened in your life, you just say no more. You say, well, you know, how do you do that? Well, it's not something that's easy to do, but it is doable. I mean, some of the greatest people in history, when you look back at their life when they were younger, the hardships that they endured, they're massive. You just like, wow, I don't know how in the world they overcame that. But it comes from having a made-up mind. And it's the same thing that applies to living for God. Now, I will be the first to say that there are pastors that I love dearly. I learned some of the best teaching from the Bible from them and heard some of the best preaching in the Bible from them that they will not let me even testify behind their pulpit. You know, that's just something they can do. And then there's other pastors that I've been involved with works in their churches. They've hurt me, you know, with some of the things they said. You know, there was some good that I got from it and some bad that I got from it. But you just, you know, it's one of those things that you just kind of go on from there. And so I was thinking as I was reading some of the emails that some people had sent me, and I was listening to one of our older shows that we had done that you could listen to in the archives, and it talks about being broken in all the right places. And see, life is going to happen. There's going to be things that come along. You're going to make bad decisions. You're going to make choices that you're not going to be happy with before you live for God and after you make up your mind you're going to live for God. The Bible talks about when I fall, not if I fall, but when I fall. You know, that Jesus is there, you know, to help us, to lift us up, to take us to that rock that is higher than where we are in ourselves, to be that shelter in the time of storm. We find those things in Him. And so I decided to look back in life and say, okay, this is how I'm going to look at it. Those preachers that I can't stand behind their pulpit and even share a testimony, I look at the good, all the Bible teaching that I got from them, the love of God's Word that some of them put in my heart as a young man to look at, and just to go from there, because I can tell you that I did the steps of letting those things bind me and listen to the little voice in my head saying, well, if you can't be saved, why give it a shot? You know, just give up. You know, if these people are right and the wrongs that you've done cannot be undone, then what's the use of even trying? Why even make an attempt to live for God? On the other side of that, when people ask me, you know, what kind of level do you look at yourself when you see yourself as a preacher? And I would tell you that I look at myself basically being just right below Balaam's donkey. You know, he had a message at that time for Balaam, and so I look at myself as being right below there. But the words that Balaam's donkey spoke were powerful for Balaam's situation. And I can't explain it. The message I have for you that I'm going to share today, and I don't think I'll probably bring it as a preacher. I'll probably just kind of teach on it a little bit. But you never know. Because even though I don't really look at myself as a preacher, there is a preacher that lives inside of me. But how do you explain waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning and God giving you a vision with the people in the church and then giving you a message to go with that? And then you go to church, and while you're in the prayer room praying before service, pastor comes up to you and says, I want you to preach tonight. I feel like God's giving you a word. And so you're like, yes, sir. You know, because you got this other that's kind of burning on the back burner that God woke you up with early that morning. And then you get up, and the pastor, you're watching him teach in Sunday school. And then, you know, this is something I shared with the church. I always didn't understand why my wife and why my mom used to get so upset when they mop a floor. And then before it's dry, you come walking through. Because, I mean, that's what the floor is there for. You know, that's how you get from one place to another. But anyway, you'd walk through it, and they'd be all upset. Well, the pastor asked me to preach that night, and then he got up that morning, and he left footprints all through the message that God had given me. But instead of looking at that as a negative, and, you know, and it's easy to do those things, I looked at it as an affirmation that God had given me a message that was jointly tied in with the pastor, who is the spiritual leader of that church, to share with the people that were there. And so with that being said, that was an encouragement for me to go ahead and do that. Now, am I going to tell you that I did an awesome job in what I had to present? No, I'm going to speak in Bill language. I'm going to use the words that Bill speaks. I don't all of a sudden change and become somebody different. It's not one of those type situations, but there is an anointing that comes in that can use my manner of speech that can break any yoke that binds, and so God's word can go forth in power, because it's not my word, it's His words. And I go back to the scripture where it talks about being a new creature in Him. When I gave everything to God, I became a new creature. But it's so easy for us to not really latch hold of the things that God has for us. And you can take scripture, and you can take one topic, and you can take one direction with it, and you take another direction with it. You can take dissect scripture to where you can make a point to whatever you want to be. And so I don't want to make it sound like that I'm trying to preach myself into heaven or anything like that. But I guess it would probably help if I would go on into the scriptures that I want to start this off with today. And if I can find those, I'll be glad to bring it to you. It's amazing to me how God's word at different times can speak to us in such a powerful way when you least expect it. Looking in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices..." Man, I'm doing this really bad. Guess that's what I get for not printing it out and trying to read it off the computer. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Verse 2, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins." Verse 3, "But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year." Verse 4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." And when I look at these scriptures right here, what I realize is that we live in a type and shadow of the law of the Old Testament. We understand the sacrifices that had to be made, and we understand that that was just a shadow of what is before us now. When you look at the whole tabernacle and how it was laid out, and you hear many preachers talk about that there's a type and there's a shadow of the things that came in the New Testament. Because when you look at what was under the Old Testament, what did you have? You had guilt. It was not taken away. It was pushed off until the next year. You had self-loathing. You had what? A spirit of fear that would come upon you. You had hatred. Yeah, hatred, that what you had towards your fellow man and towards other people around you. That was something that was real, that was there. You had the scar of sin, the curse of sin was still on you. It was just pushed forward from one year to the next. All the things that came with that, it was the things that just that took you down, that tore you down. I'm not worthy. I'm shameful. I'm weak. I'm a person who can't do good. I'm a person who is loathsome when you look at the things that are holy and pure of God. All those things were part of what was to be carried in that shadow, that type and shadow of what they had for a plan of salvation that there was for then. But then you look at the more perfect way that we have, where Jesus, God robed in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, where He took on the sins of the world upon Himself. But the only way that's going to be done is if, because He said, "For whosoever will," is if we follow the New Testament covenant plan. And you can follow that through to after Jesus left on the day of Pentecost with Peter, where you can read in Acts 2 and see what happened for yourself. It made it very clear that there had to be a repentance that took place. After that repentance, you was to be baptized in Jesus' name. And then there was another baptism where it talks about being born of the water and of the Spirit, was the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And that's what God has set aside for all of us to have a more perfect way of salvation. Because what the shadow was in the Old Testament was where the sun was behind it, shining through, and had this more perfect way in place. Not just S-U-N, but S-O-N was what there was. There was the light and the power that created this shadow, what there was before. So when I get to trying to think about things in my life that break me down and tear me down, when I get to thinking about all the things that I've done past and all the people that are hurt and the impact it's had on my life and the impact it's had on other people's lives, it's a burden. And so what God had shown me was that there was a lot of people in our church, basically showed me that the entire church was under a burden. They were bondage. It was a bondage that was there. And so what I did with the people in church, and you do this too, if you have anything in your life, anything at all, that puts extra pressure on you, just a day-to-day living, maybe the choices you made with your job, maybe it's financial choices that you made, maybe it's past mistakes that it seems like it don't ever seem to change, maybe it's looking at your future, and you look at your future and you say, wow, it's just the same thing happen over and over. I got lost loved ones, and time marches on, and day goes by, and year goes by, and years go by, and nothing seems to change in their life, and I'm praying for them, and I'm seeking for things to be there, and you're broken and hurt because you think, man, if I'd have just been sooner in my life, what God wanted me to be, what kind of life I could be as an example for these people, what kind of motivation could they have gotten off me, Lord, if I'd have just, at that time in my life when I first knew who you were and heard about you, if I just could have applied those things to my life that were holy, that were pure, that were righteous, that you presented for me, if I could have just done that then maybe my children or grandchildren would be closer to you than what they are right now. See, we all have those things, but what I had the church do is we were going through and naming these things. I said, if you have those things in your life, stand up. And nobody was looking around. And you could tell there were some people that was doing a little bit of soul searching, thinking, do I want to be that transparent? Do I want to let others see that I'm not who I just think of myself as perfect, that I have to carry these things on myself, that there is a burden that seems to be about me all the time? And it was interesting to watch the different people do that. It was interesting to see how some of the people who clearly had a bondage in their life from things like we were naming, and you can name many others, and I would encourage you to do that. Look at things in your life that just seem to weigh on you, because we're all different. But as the ones that you knew had drastic need of burdens that were just oppressing them in their life, some of those were the ones that were slowest to stand up as they were looking around the room. But then I had them do something. I said, if it's something from past, if it's something from when you were, before you were living for God, or maybe when you started living for God and you decided to run from the things that God had given you, and you backslid and you went out and tried to do things your own way. Maybe there was some rebellion from things past. Maybe it's something to do like with raising your children lifetime. But if it was past, I told them to hold out their left hand. And there again, the process of watching the people in the church try to process this in their mind, it was really interesting. His pastor was behind me, and I could see he was one of the first people to stand. He was one of the first people to put his left hand out. And then I told him, if it's things that are future, things that, you just see that there just seems to be no end to it. It's just a never-ending cycle of these things in your life that just burden you day after day after day, to put out their right hand. And then I wanted them to put their wrists together and realize that what they don't realize is by choice, and because of Satan working and trying to do this, because Satan is what? He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He's a chain in between that puts these wrists together, and he's got you bound. And that's where Satan wants you to be. He wants you to be bound, because it's real easy in that situation of being bound to all of a sudden start hating things in your life that were meant to be good. And when hatred comes, then all of a sudden you want to destroy those things or separate them from your life. And in that process of trying to do that, then you basically on your own, you're deciding to kill some of the fruits and some of the seed that God has put into your life. You're doing it on your own. You're making that choice to do those things. And so I wanted everyone to look around, and it was amazing as the people looked around the church and they realized that the entire church was standing. And as we were looking around, and it kind of grieved my heart as I was looking, and I could see all the different expressions on people's faces as the different emotions were coming through and the way that they were trying to deal with this. And because some of them, like I say, have so much bondage in their life that it's just visible for everyone to see. And then there were those that put on masks and they try to hide it. And they can go through all the motions and praise the Lord, hallelujah, at the right time. It seems like when things get to a certain timbre in the service to where they just respond. And they can respond with emotion on things because they're actually sensitive to some of the things of God. But it's one of those things that's still a mask. It's not that real, deep, true relationship was there. And so as I was standing here and I was watching this, and I was feeling this grieving spirit come into my heart, and I remember that I actually wept during the service at this point as I was looking and seeing these things taking place, because to realize that we're all in the same boat together. And then I thought of all those scriptures that talks about how we are the body of Christ and we're all different members, and not all can be the ear, not all can be the hand, and not all can be the feet. But I was looking and I thought, wow, as we look at churches today and we wonder why some of the things are going on in the churches that are happening, and we have a tendency to want to judge other people and judge things, what we saw in that process was is that, well, just look at it this way. If you had a headache, That's really big to you. That's something that's important. But if we had all those members of the body that were bound and were hurting, if you got that much injury to a body, it has to go to an emergency room. You need emergency triage to take place. Something's got to be done to break this yoke of bondage that's on God's people, because he let us know that what the Son of God sets free is free indeed. God never put bondage on us. He never meant for us to be bound. And sometimes I think a lot of this has to do is we forget who we are. We lose our identity because we let other people, which like I was talking about myself, I could allow other people to establish my identity. And when I was doing that, I was giving power to things that were negative. I was giving power to things that didn't have anything to do with a personal relationship with God. And for years, I used that as an excuse not to live for God. But one day, through different storms and trials in my life, where I had to be broken in all the right places, but stay submissive to the will of God and keep myself humbled before him and stay moldable on that potter's wheel, to where he could separate things from my life, to where he could use the storms of life to come in and separate the chaff from the wheat with that wind that can blow through there. And when you allow and you submit yourself to allow God to do that, and you go through process of time, you start to realize some things. You understand that these things that bind you and people try to establish identities on you, that you can let those things be real, or you can say, no, that is not who I am. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm going to stand here. Because see, guys, there's a great big world out there. You do not have to be in a situation where you put yourself under someone to where they can constantly sit there and put you down and establish your identity and make you feel worthless and keep you in the bondage of the things of the world that Satan wants to do. Because see, that's Satan's job. He's an accuser. He wants to constantly come back and remind you of the things in your life. But see, the difference in being under the shadow of the plan of salvation and being in the real plan of salvation, whoo, is all of a sudden, guess what? God says, what sins? What are you being bound by? The things that are past, you put under the blood? I don't know what you're talking about. I've cast those away as far as the east is from the west. They no longer exist. Satan's accusing you, and you're allowing him to let those things come back up in your life. And he has no authority if you don't give him authority. God said that we have the power to bind and the power to loose. We can rebuke Satan, and he has to flee from us. No place in the Bible did it ever say that we were to have a running conversation with Satan. But yet we do this so many times. Man, the devil's been talking to me all day today. Well, what are you listening to? Tune that sucker out. Say, boo, devil, I'll rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And then get tied into the things of God. Get to reading his word. Listen to some gospel songs. Reach out to a brother and sister. Because seeing this thing of realizing we're all in the same boat, it can't be to where my problems are my problems that you can't understand. And so I'm really not going to take time to understand your problems. How many times have you had someone come to you and they were sharing something they got out of a service where God was speaking to them, and you hear the first two or three words of what they're saying, all of a sudden that clicks up a thought in your life to something and you want to share about yourself, and you don't really listen to them anymore. You're waiting for them to stop talking so you can share your viewpoint or your blessing or the trial that you went through along the same line, and you're sitting there going back and forth, and it's never issued. They've thrown something out, you've thrown something out, then somebody else can throw something out there, and all we're doing is we're just adding more and more weight to the body of Christ. But see, when you understand that we're in this together, and we understand that your problems should be as important, if not more important to me, than my problems, God said, you will be able to know my people because they have love one for another. You love your neighbor as yourself. Well, as I'm so interested and so concerned about my issues, and I need to be concerned about my brothers and my sisters' issues. I don't need it to be to where it's all about me all the time. Me, myself, and I. Me, 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 me. I want, I want, I want. That's not what it's supposed to be. When you realize that we're jointly fit together as a body, and you look over there and you see a brother and sister is hurting, I tell you what, there is a power in putting your burdens behind you and being there for someone else and praying for them and seeking a shelter for them and speak words of edification for them to be a positive place to show them how to get up to a rock that's higher than where they are right now, instead of just all acknowledging, yeah, we're all in this together. Yeah, you got this, I got this, they got this, everybody's got this. Well, some of those people, they deserve it because of the way they live, and some of them, you know, they're striving for the mark and they still have to go through this. Time out. Hey, let's get a reality check here. These things in our life that are tearing us down and are being a weight upon us are not things that God wants to be there. He never wanted those things to be there. He never said those things would be there. He told us that he set us free. See, the new perfect plan of salvation was remission of sins. It lets us know through water baptism there was remission of sins in the name of Jesus. There was repentance, the remission of sins, and then you're given that power to be more than an overcomer with the Holy Ghost. That power that will lead and guide you into all truth. That power that's going to help you understand that when I'm weak, he is strong. To where my righteousness is as filthy rags, that his righteousness is something that I can take on and use. He's given me permission to use his righteousness, his holiness, his purity. All those things that are lacking in my life, I can get through my relationship with God. And when you get to helping each other, then you get to understanding where in God's word where he said, any two or three come together in my name. Faith believing it. There's not anything that we can't do. Not anything that we can't do. Nothing is withheld from us. But yet we want to go and we take God's word, and we've talked about this before, and you say, well, if it's God's will, and you read God's word and he says, I will or I shall, and we say, well, if he will or if he wants to. See, we're looking at things and we're not really seeing the big picture. And I was sharing with the people at church, you know, as Jesus went through the world when he was here on this earth and we saw the things that he did, wow, can you just visualize whatever problems in your life? Maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe it's a problem with lost loved ones. Maybe you got a serious illness in your life. And you were thinking, man, if Jesus was just here, Jesus could take care of this situation. It reminds you of Mary with Lazarus. Lord, if you'd only been here, Lazarus would not have died. But see, we sit there and we look at things just like Mary did, not seeing the big picture. Because not just when Jesus is there to perform his promises, it's one of those things that's not limited to space and time like we see it. Because there's a greater work is taking place. When there's a greater work taking place, it's for his glory. It's for something that's going to shed forth light and salt to preserve other people, to be a help to other people. When those things are working through our life, and then you realize that Jesus was working in the process. He had already told the disciples, hey, Lazarus sleeps. He didn't say he had died. He said, Lazarus sleeps. Do you think he misspoke? Do you think he just like, whoops, I missed a cue card here. No, Lazarus is dead. No. Jesus wasn't surprised by any of this. It's only that we can't look with eyes of faith, that we can't bind together and believe, as they were in the upper room where they were in one mind and one accord. And it's not all in one mind and one accord about, whoa, moon, despair, agony on me, whoa. It's in that mind of faith to know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that I'm more than an overcomer, that he didn't ever mean for me to be bound in things of sin, but he set me free. He paid the price of sin. Those burdens can no longer be there. And you got to make up your mind that you're not going to allow those things pass because they're under the blood and they've been forgiven. And then you look at things, as we talk about the words with believe and faith, and you look at what's happening right now, and you look at things as future, and you say, I can believe God's word said this, and I believe that God meant that, and he said this. But then when you walk out on it in faith, when that application comes into your life, and you say, hey, I don't just believe this, I'm standing on this promise with you, for you, my brothers and sisters, and you, they can do it for you right back, because there's a power of blessing. When you bless others, it's returned unto you. You can read it all through God's Word about the power of the blessing, the people that bless people, how they, that God brought that back and it was a blessing to them. And so it's part of the process. He lets us know that we're all in this together, but not to sit there and come up with a message that is negative, not to one of those things that binds us down. See, I've mentioned this before. When you look at all the things that's happening in the world, and there's so much talk about end time and blood moons and all the things that have to do with end time prophecy and all the things going on with the Middle East, and how that we seems that any time something's mentioned about Israel, that everybody gets up in arms and they're upset about our government wanting to change these things. And I'm telling you, in my mind, I see this as people trying to deflect from the real issue, because what's happening is people are afraid, because they know as these things come to a point that somewhere when this happens that God is going to come back for a church that's pure, for a church that's holy, for people that are pure and holy, without sin, those that are without blemish, those that said that yes to Him, and they tied themselves to Him in the word that He's left us, and they said, yes, I'm going to be more than what I am within myself through you. I'm going to allow your righteousness and your holiness to work in my life. But see, in our deflection, what we're thinking is, okay, if we can get the government to change their stance on this, and we can get everybody to just get all riled up, and we can change the things that go against Israel to make it for Israel, and these sin things that are coming in place on abortion, and things like the gay marriage rights that are in place right now, if we can just do something to change that, then, you know, maybe God won't come back, because we've taken away the qualifications for Him to be here. And I'm saying, stop and take a look at yourself, folks. You got a spirit of fear on you that God didn't give you. He said, when you see the things that happen at the end of time, to lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. But see, you've forgotten who you are. You forgot that you're not your own, that you were purchased with a price. But see, in that process, what we do is we tell God, okay, this would be like someone buying a car. Someone buys a car, and you say, okay, well, here's the title to the car, and then you keep driving the car. And then you want to come back and you say, well, so I got a flat tire, I need some new tires, or wore out. And then you want to hand this person that owns, you own the car, so here's the bill, I need you to take care of this. Or it's time to get a tune-up, or I need to have a rebuild on the engine, or just little maintenance problems that come up, just keep taking care of a car. And you want to go in and you say, I'm not my own, I'm purchased with a price. But yet you don't ever give God ownership of who you are. You want Him to take, be your maintenance plan, your warranty program, to come in when you do things in your own way and in your own mind that you think is right, to where you push others out and you push others down to push yourself up, and you don't want to take the look at the picture to see that we're all in this thing together. And if we can't get it all together, then part of the body is hurt, part of the body is injured, and we're not doing what we're called to do. It's clear that we don't have that love it's called to have for one for another. It's not in our life. And so we get afraid, and we want to talk about politics and blood moons and all these things, and we get such a fervency in the way we talk about these things because we have a spirit of fear. Because you know why? You know you're not ready. You say, wow, that's kind of a hard thing to say. What do you mean that I know I'm not ready? And I'm telling you, I can't find any other explanation as to why anybody would have all this fear. But see, that's one of those things, Satan, like I told you before, he wants you to be bound. He wants you to look at it and have this hatred in your life to the things that are going on there. And he wants you to get into a habit of doing things the same way over and over. And before long, you get to where you don't even feel like you need to repent for the things that are holding you down and binding you, because it's like an old friend. You're used to it being there. It's something that you'll go to an altar and you'll pray, and sometimes God will quicken to you that these things are binding you. And so what do? You'll pray and you'll pour out your heart to God and you'll repent all over again of sins that God's already forgiven, that's already been placed under the blood. You'll pray for lost loved ones again and again, over and over, with a broken heart, and you're bound by these things, not realizing that God is doing things in His own time and in His will, and you're not walking on faith. You're walking on sight of things that are there. And so what you've basically done is you've allowed yourself to be bound. We want to blame it on the devil. The devil made me do it. And he's going to work with you to let you do those things. But I'm telling you that Satan is allowing you to do this within yourself. You willingly take on bondage that was never meant to be yours. God said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. But no, we're like, you know, Lord, I've got this. I handle it. You know, Lord, I appreciate you being here. And I want you to do the maintenance part of everything. But I'm not really totally giving all this to you. I'm going to hang on to it because it's nasty. It's dirty. It's not worthy of you. But see, before we become to Christ, when we have these things, it makes us unworthy too. If you got stinky diapers and garbage and spoiled milk in your house, guess what? Your house is going to smell like all those things. And when you think that you can keep carrying these things around in your life and not affect who you are, and it's not a reason for you to be fearful, because nobody wants to live in a house that's like that. And we want to justify so many things. And as I pointed out to the church when I was sharing this with them, you know, we look at things as God being an awful, terrible God, but we understand that he's going to be a judge. He's going to judge those that are righteous and those that are not. And a righteous is scarcely going to make it. But when you stop and realize that God's given us everything we need to get through. Because see what we were talking about, if God was with us, surely this would not be a problem anymore. If God was here, he could take care of this. But then we skip over scriptures where it said that God was the Word made flesh. And you got your Bibles right now, and you're speaking forth God's Word, and you memorize scripture, and you speak them. And when you speak them in faith, guess what? You're speaking Jesus to that situation. He is there. He's that Word made flesh. He didn't say these things just to be vague, and he didn't say these things that apply just to, you know, if I want to, I can do these things for you, or I might do these things for you, even though my Word says that I will do these things for you. God is going to accomplish his Word in your life only if you let him. Because, see, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do any of these things. And so I told people, I said, when you get to trying to figure out some of the things in your life that you could do to try to look these things better, I reminded people that there's 24 hours in a day, or 7 days in a week, which makes 168 hours in a week. You're like, wow, okay. Now, I don't know about you, but with our church services, we go to church, we have prayer meetings on Tuesday nights, which I usually miss out on because I'm doing the radio show. We have church on Wednesday night, and they have two services on Sunday. So if you went to both those, all these services, and say it was 2 hours for each one, where some of them are less, but say it's 2 hours for each one, then you spend a total of 8 hours. Now you have 168 hours, and you've given God 8 hours. But you say, I'm not my own. I'm purchased with a price. So what do you do with the other 160 hours? Okay, if you sleep 8 hours a day, that's 48 hours in a week. That leaves 112 hours left. If you work 5 days a week at 8 hours a day, that's 40 hours. That still leaves you 72 hours in a week. And I ask you, how much of that, besides the church services, do you give to the things of God? Do you read Matthew 25 and you try to do the things that's listed there where God separated the sheep from the goats? Do you apply those things in your life? Because see, when you develop habits to where you leave God out of it, other than I need him to be my maintenance worker or my janitor to clean up my messes, that's not a relationship. So you can't live for God living on autopilot. It just doesn't work. And I tell you something, what happens is like I told you before, these things that get to carry in your life and become a burden, you get bitterness that comes in, a root of bitterness. But bitterness is one of those things that it's not against the things, really, that make you bitter. Bitterness has a tendency to be something between us and our relationship with God. Have you ever thought about that? Well, I don't like the way this person sings, and I don't like the way this person dresses, and I don't think they're as holy as they should be, and I don't know what to do about this and that. Stop! Make up your mind, you're not going to be bound anymore. You're going to bust out of prison with a risen Christ Savior. You're going to make up your mind that you're going to follow after him. You're going to take scriptures that says, like, no weapon formed against me will prosper. You'll take scriptures like Isaiah 1 and 8, where he lets us know that we can reason with him, where it says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. See, when we're not even talking about some things that are sin, but what I'm finding is when you develop habits of things, where you allow things to bind you in your life, sooner or later, that in itself will turn to sin. If you allow this, the day-to-day grind of living, be a burden that gets you down each and every day, then you're going to see that you're not going to have much joy in your life. But when you're connected to God, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It helps you break these things that bind us and keep us bound to where we cannot have faith, because you can't be bound and have fear and carry all the things that came under the shadow of salvation and carry those in your life, because they're not meant to be with us anymore. You can't carry those things and build faith. And without faith, you can't please God. And without faith, you're not going to have the works of working in your life that you want to have. Without faith, the fruit and gifts of the Spirit are not going to work in your life to the level that God wants them to work to be what you need to be an overcomer. See, it's not just God makes you an overcomer. He puts you through the process. He allows these things to come in. And in this process, yeah, I've had some people that's hurt my feelings in the past. But man, the benefit of some of the ministry that I've sat under, some of the Bible teaching that I've sat under, going past the men, but looking at the Word of God, where Jesus was with me through the Word and ministry that God put in my life from these other people that taught me. Don't think about the things in their person as to who they are, but look at the message that God had come through them, where I can apply that as Jesus is here through His Word right now in this situation for this need, and I can walk by faith. I can believe it, and in believing it, it's going to exercise what? Faith. And that's key to what we have to do. See, we look at the thing, you say, well, I don't understand all this stuff about people talking about us being of one body and everything. Well, 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. 14, for the body is not one member, but many. See, we all are part of this same thing together. And we need to understand that even though we don't see Jesus walking with us, that faith, where it talks about to where is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it's like where the wind, where you can see the wind blowing, but you can't actually see the wind. But see, one of the things I love about that scripture where it's describing what faith is that first word, now. See, you may have been bound when you first started hearing this message. You may have let other people establish your identity. You may be looking at future to events and people in your life and saying, I don't see a way of hope out of this. I don't see how things are going to change. But when you speak forth in the name of Jesus, I speak forth freedom into their life. I speak the Word of God into their life. I claim them in the name of Jesus for those that are lost. I bind Satan for the things that he means for bad. And I understand that God will do what he has to. He's not limited. We sit there and we can look at people and say, oh, well, it's just not ever going to happen because God's given people, you know, they've got their own mind. They can do what they want to do. They have free will. Hello? Still something here from my pastor. Do you don't think that God knows how to get people exactly where he needs to get their attention? And if he gets them within that place, and we're where we're supposed to be in prayer for them, maybe it needs to be a little prayer and fasting for them, where we understand. See, Satan wants us to think that we have no power. He wants us to think that we're just like toothless old people, and you know, we can't hardly eat, you know, meat of the word anymore, and we can't stand up on things in faith, and the things we once believed, they don't have to be there. And I'm telling you that if you don't understand who you are, take a look at 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. See, he never meant for us to stay in darkness. He never meant for us to be bound. He called us into the light. Verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See, when you look at the old way, mercy wasn't truly applied there. They had to go to the priest. There was a separation of God. There were all these things were a shadow of Jesus, where that sun was shining through the things that were to come, and they had that shadow of a plan of salvation. But we don't live there now. We don't have to. And go to verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. See, we understand that there's a warfare taking place. We understand that we have an enemy who's very good at his job. But sometimes I heard many preachers say this, when you get to trying to figure out who your enemy is, sometimes you need to look in the mirror where you're not standing in faith on the word that God's given us to understand that I am special. I'm chosen. He's given me revelation as to who he is. Revelation to plan his salvation. And we want to sit there and let the devil tell us, you ain't worth nothing. You don't mean anything. You know, that was if God wants to, but who are you to think that God would want to use you? You know, really, who do you think that you are? And I can understand that. But somewhere along the way, you've got to say, enough is enough. You've got to draw that line in the sand. And I'm saying tonight, wherever you are, instead of being there with your wrists held together and looking at the bonds from things past and bonds from things future and looking at all the weights and cares that you have on you, you don't have to do that anymore. You can apply that now faith right now. You can take those things and you can say, Lord, I don't want these nasty things anymore. And I know because your spirit lives within inside of me, you don't want those nasty things in a house where I want you to dwell inside of me, to be that power, to be more than an overcomer, to have that power where I can be a witness to you, to have that power to where it's going to be that I'm going to do greater works than what you did. I can't do that carrying these burdens and things that become a stench inside of myself for others to see. You look at people that are supposed to be Christians, and you see them looking around like they've been sucking on a bunch of green persimmons, and they're always upset, and they're the grouchy people that the people in the stores or the restaurants have to wait on and everything. And if we're supposed to have the truth and the joy of the Lord and revelation inside of us, it's time for us to bust out and let people see the love of God shining out from us with its full glory from what it's meant to be. Not to be hidden under the bondage that we allow to be there, but to understand that God sets you free. He set you free. And so you can go and you can take all these things and you can lay it down today. You can make up your mind that this is the day I'm not going to be bound anymore. Satan, you're a liar. Those things are past. Jesus didn't even see them anymore. They're under the blood. He's cast them as far as the east is from the west. I don't have to carry the burdens of past mistakes in my life anymore. And you can look at the things that are now and going forward and you say, Lord, I believe your word and I'm stepping forth in faith and I'm speaking faith to situations. I speak in victory to situations. My eyes of man may look at it and say, it looks dark. And I can look at things around me and say, it looks dark. But spiritual eyes says that my God is faithful and he's just. He's watching over his word to perform it in the lives of his people. My God has never lost a battle. He's never failed. He's never lied. He gave all that he had to give. He gave himself that we could have salvation. So why do you think he wants to hold anything back that would allow you to have bondage in your life when his whole plan was to set you free from the bondage that was in the shadow of the plan of salvation, and now we're living in the plan of salvation that God has for us? Well, I hope you got something out of this, and I know I missed a lot of the points of what I had with the church service. And like I say, I didn't want to be too preachy on this tonight, but you don't need to let people establish who you are. If you're in a situation where you're letting people do this, make up your mind today, no more. You know, why do you have this hair, it's not cut. I think your hair looks like a horse's tail. Whew, well, guess what? I'm wearing this because God said it's my glory. And I want all the glory I can have for my God because I love him. When you have people say, well, why do you dress different, talk different, you don't do different things? It's because I love God. And I believe that these things that have been separated from my life, it was something that was between me and my relationship with God. And I'm not going to allow those things to be there anymore. That's why I'm doing these things. God didn't make me do these things. He's not punishing me. There's not judgment upon my life. He's taken away all those things that put weight upon me, that add condemnation, that add a spirit of fear, all these things where I try to deflect, and I want other people to fix everything in the world so that God can't come back for a bride that's pure and holy. Instead of thinking about being that bride that's pure and holy, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to allow you to put bondage into my life. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Say that to some people a few times, see what happens. Well, I don't think you're worthy. Well, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus right now. See what happens. When you deal with things or say, hey, and I love you anyway, it's okay what you think, but I'm standing on God's word. I'm standing on God's promises. His promises are yea and amen. which is yes and yes. We talked about that not long ago. That's what you stand upon. You don't stand upon these other things. So,
you know, we're coming up on Halloween, and we talked earlier about people wearing masks. And if we, I've mentioned this before when we were talking at church. When you look at these little kids, and they may be Captain America or Superman or some monster or something, the little kid that's wearing that costume, after a while, they get to thinking that's who they are. But see, when you look at those people, you can tell that something's not right. And I want, don't want it to be where we look at our church today and we're going through the motions and we got our mask on and we can say hallelujah at the right time and thank you, Jesus, at the right time. And we know all the buzzwords and all the scriptures and everything. But as I was talking about before, we look like our world has come to an end everywhere we go. We got that downward look on our face. We look like we've been sucking on that green persimmon. And I'm telling you that there ought to be something inside of us that says there's something wrong with my relationship with God. A lie has been sold to me, and I'm believing it because God never, ever, ever intended for his people to go through life like that. He lets us know when we're even fasting. Hey, get up and wash your face, you know. Put on some clothes, you know. Don't be trying to look all downtrodden because you're fasting over something you're praying for. You're doing this because you're going to get authority over a spirit that's come against you, because we understand that some spirits, the only way you come against them is through prayer and fasting. And so you're entering into a battle with the full intention of winning, but you got this look on your face like you've already lost. And I'm telling you, it's a shame what we're doing with the things that God's given us that we just leave sitting over on the table and we're not taking advantage of and using in our life. Because just like it was with the costumes, you can get to believing it after a while. And I've shared this with people before. My dad shared it with me about when they were shooting Superman and they had all these special effects. And Christopher Reeves had been wearing this uniform, his Superman suit, for months. And they had a piece of metal that was falling, a weight about 2 tons. And he ran over there to grab this falling piece of metal to save people. But guess what? He wasn't Superman. And guess what? If we're not totally in line with the things of God, not just the promises and the good things, but the things that we're accountable to do, if we don't get sin out of the way and we don't take on his righteousness and holiness, or we're just taking on burdens that don't really belong to us, and they're letting those things ferment and become a stench in our life, but guess what? That's sin. It becomes a fermentation that is a stench. It goes up before the Almighty God, and he don't want to marry an old stinky woman. His bride is going to be pure and holy and bright. But if you don't want to go through the motions and all of a sudden get to believing that you're something that you're not, like it was with Superman. And let me tell you something. When you get to really feeling like down and out and you're trying to figure out who you are, get a pencil and paper, start writing down some things and look at the scriptures that talks about it. It lets us know that in God that we are a child of God, that he set us free. Write these things down. Put them around your house. Recite them out loud. I am loved by God. Woo! He loves me. I'm adopted. I'm light, not darkness. I'm royalty of God. I'm a heir to the kingdom. I will reign in glory with him. I've been chosen by God, his child. He is my father, his friend forever, forgiven by God. I am pure, no condemnation. Woo! Calls us a saint, a new creation. I can be secure in his hand. I can break curses in Jesus' name. I can bind and I can loose in Jesus' name. God has plans for you, and he declares them. He has plans to give you hope. He has plans to give you a future. He has plans to prosper you. He has plans, again, to give you more hope. We can have the mind of Christ. I am whole. I am righteous. I'm complete. All these things in Jesus. I'm accepted by God. And he's sitting there saying, whosoever will. Come on, get you some, whosoever will. I'm bought with a price. I'm secure in Christ. I'm one with Christ. I belong to God. Just think about it. The Almighty God, who's never lost a battle, never lost a fight, who's not seen anything with any power that's not below his feet, has established all these things in identity of what he wants us to have with him and through him. And we're sitting there singing, oh, whoa, I'm at the bottom of the barrel. Oh, God, don't love me. He's letting me go through all this stuff. And we're just, it's a system that's in our nation today, because we are so spoiled with all the things we've been blessed with that we're not satisfied with the good things anymore, and we've allowed Satan to trick us into trading off the good things God's given us for the things that's not even ours to carry. I don't have to worry about what's going on in this government. I don't have to worry about who's the right president of the United States, what this congressman said or this senator said, or what's going on in the state capitol and the states that I live in. My God has more power than all those people put together, and they're all going to be, he's the one that says kings and queens on thrones, and he's the one that has these things going into place for his time and his good pleasure are these things happening. And in the whole process, he tells me that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And we can believe these things, but then are we walking in faith in these things? Because there's a difference in believing it and believing it and then walking in faith in it. And without faith, guess what? We cannot please God. Cannot. It's a given. Cannot, will not, we're going to have that fear taken over. We're not going to have that spirit of love. We can't do these things if we don't take on all the things that God's given for us. If we don't understand our identity in Him, then how in the world can we share the identity God's given us to the world? How can we do that if we don't even know who we are ourselves, if it doesn't have real value to us? Well, I'm going to calm down here. I didn't say that once, didn't I? But we're going to put Blog Talk Mom on and see if she's got anything for us tonight. I was saying we'll put Blog Talk Mom on. I turned her on, and it turned her back off again. There you go, Blog Talk Mom.
Hello there, and thank you, Wild Bill, because I agree with you 500%. Can you do that with that many percentage? Because it's the voice of the Lord speaking to us with what you were saying, because condemnation is of the enemy. I loved, you know, John 3:16 was, I guess, the first scripture I ever learned, and it seemed like you heard it really often, and it's beautiful. It is beautiful that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But John 3:17, for He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And repeatedly He explains to us that Satan is the accuser. And people have, and I admire that, they have a sanctification, a sanctity. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about people that want to live separated. You know, they've dropped the weights and sins of the world, and they're leading others to do the same. But when we fall through the cracks, sort of, you know, we make mistakes, we do things, God doesn't hold us to that accountability. He holds us to one thing, and that's if you confess, then He will forgive. And if He forgives, He cleanses. And when you're clean, you're clean. I really, really, really appreciate this. It's a divine truth, Wild Bill, that so many people, I spoke with a woman today who's gone through a horrible trial in her life, and she is so bitter that she has two objectives in her life, is to make the person that hurt her suffer. You know, that's the main thing she wants to do, and to get back at God for allowing it to happen. How sad, you know, to have that mentality of God. And I sure didn't want to say anything preachy to her. I just said that vengeance is mine, saith God. You know, He'll repay. He knows how to take care of His business. And I'm so thankful that God took the bitterness out of my life, and Jorbell's, and you, and Sister Starla, our family. They're not under that kind of bondage. And God, you know, some are living for God and some are not, but they don't have that kind of mentality or whatever you were talking about, you know, through the message of I ought to do this, I should have done that, you know, I had no hope for me, whatever, but they know, and I'm so thankful for that. So thank you again. I was just writing down all kinds of notes because this was beautiful, very, very beautiful. Of course, it's really exciting for me to have my son preaching the gospel. That's an answer to prayers, too. And I like, too, I want to say one more thing. I love the way you said the A to Z thing, because sometimes when you are going through hardships, as sickness or whatever, and you're weary, that the inspiration or that anointing or whatever, but just to take A to Z. And he said, enter his courts, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. And if you go, if you start with A, but I guarantee you, you'll be feeling the Lord really good before you get to Z, if you're thanking and praising him. So that was excellent. Thank you again.
Well, thank you. There is such a power when you get to counting your blessings and you look at what God has established as to who we are as his people. And one thing, I hear a lot of people quote John 3:16 all the time, but it doesn't say that those that believe will be saved. It said they should. They, you know, there's some other things that go with it. They shall, you know, what does it say? I misquoted here. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Not that they would not perish. So
right.
There's a difference here. It lets us know that there's a little bit more to it. It's not just believe. Then you got to go from believing to walking in faith. And you got to obey his word. And you walk in faith on the things that he's established there from that point to understand that we're no longer looking at. It's almost as bad as if you were at one time you had to ride on an old dirt road. It was all battered and beat your car to death for years and years. And they gave you this brand new superhighway that you could travel at a high speed. And it was just smooth as silk. And you're not satisfied with that. You got to pull all these old holes and dips and bumps and gravel over on that smooth road. And God never intended for us to have that. It's a more perfect way through him. It's not the same thing with the blood of goats and sheep and the things that they had to go through back then. It's a more perfect, it's a better way. But then we still can't take it for granted to say that we don't need to look up at God and understand that he loves us. He loves me. Say it. Make it personal. When you take God's word and you make it personal, you can't help but get feeling pretty good. It's kind of like that thing when all of a sudden this boy was being mean to some other kid, and I was running with the Cub Scouts, and they were all behind me and running across there. I wasn't too worried because I had the rest of the Cub Scout troop behind me. And it's the same thing. God is right there with us. He's moving along. He's moving things out of our way. He's changing perspectives. And also for that thing where you got people you want to get this hate and bitterness against, when you look at it with spiritual eyes, you realize that you wasn't just a real pleasure to deal with on the other side of that situation either. When you get to looking at it and you see how God used those situations to move you up higher, move you out of comfort zone, separate those things from your life. How can you be mad at someone that God used to push you out of a comfort zone or move you out from where you are if it made you better than where you were before? See, that's a fallacy of the whole thing. It's easy to want to go back here and lock into that root of bitterness. But as I said before, that separates me from God. It don't have any bearing on us. You know, we can move across the world from each other with as far as you can get and still have that hatred and that root of bitterness there. And it's not going to hurt that person on the other side of the world. And it's not going to hurt them hating us. It's not going to hurt us. But that hatred between us and God is going to keep us from missing the mark. And that's serious. So anyway, thank you for the kind words there, Blog Talk Mom. It's so different on the radio, and it wasn't quite the same. I didn't want it to get too preachy, but then I sort of get carried away there, and it just sort of happens a little bit. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to add? All you got to do is push 1 on your phone, and we'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. Well, we got a hand here. 0013, you're on the air.
Well, I thought it was wonderful, and I'm very proud of my preaching husband. I'm really, really proud of you, and I just so, so enjoy you bringing the word. And when you do, it is just so plain, and I just get so much out of it, and I really enjoy it. And you are my favorite preacher.
Well, that's so kind of you to say. You're my favorite, honey.
That was great. well, that was sweet. Anyway,
I first you're gonna come back and say, "I better be your only honey."
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I should have saved that one until after the radio show, folks. Trust me. By the time I got upstairs, that one would have done grown out into a little plant there. So. Well, Blog Talk Mom, did you have anything else for us? What's that, Starla?
I said we're going to accentuate the positive.
That's right.
That's right.
That's like an old song from something.
You mentioned you were talking about the accuser. I really want us to always be aware, and I mentioned it a while ago again, but Satan is the accuser. He loves to accuse us. If you read Revelation 12, 10 and 11, that he's all the time, he's constantly accusing us to the Lord. And then the Lord, as you mentioned, we have a testimony. It's not how good we were and what a great find God made when he come across me. No, it's not like that. He took ashes. The Bible uses that illustration, ashes, and gives us beauty, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. I mean, this is what God does. It's all about him. It's all about the glory that goes to him. It takes a fallen generation, a fallen race, a fallen person, whatever. And when they bring, like you said so beautifully, the broken pieces. We're broken all the places that God can be glorified. That amazing grace, that song, there's nothing unredeemable by Selah. Oh, that is, they sang that Sunday night. The words to that song, there's nothing that God can't redeem. He is the Redeemer. And if anyone would be listening to know that God, like Wild Bill said, he's on your side. He wants you to win. He has given you and us all that we need to win in every situation. You know, a minister the other day said he never knew, never was it recorded ever, that a martyr ever was not either singing or worshiping God. I mean, you know, you just, as I love to say, you cannot lose living for God. And you can't win if you don't live for God. So it's pretty simple, isn't it?
It really is.
Narrow way, and we want to go that road. And thank you again. I love this.
What is so cool when you look at the scripture where it talks about now faith is that everyone right now, we're serving a right now God. Right now. He's here right now.
Yeah.
These words that he's put out through me to speak to you and that we've all shared with each other, and you can take that and apply it to your life. You can do that right now. You can say, these things that I'm carrying that's weighing me down, Lord, you've given me permission. I'm giving those things to you. And leave it at that altar. Don't take ownership of it after God gives you that soft heart of repentance over those things that you've carried, these things that you were never required to carry. When you lay it down, leave it there. Don't think, well, I got to take this back with me. This is too dirty. I can't leave. That's where it belongs, on the altar. The altar was meant to be a place of blood and dirt and stench and all the things that went with it. It's meant to be left there and leave it there forever. Don't come back later unless someone convince you or Satan convince you. That belongs to you. That's your identity. You got to take it back. That's what makes you special. That's what makes you who you are. No, leave it there and give it to God. You can do that now. That now faith with a right now God. You can make up your mind that tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'm going to say, "Woo! This is a day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it." These other things, that old man, I've left him up there. I've taken off that old robe. I put on the new. And you start walking right now. And when you fall, and you will, the difference between falling and failing is that you say, "Lord, forgive me." Like Blog Talk Mom said, he's faithful. Let us reason together. Leave it with God again and go from there. But for those that want to grab hold and take ownership again, well, I've fallen. This is me. This is who I am. This is mine. I'm going to take it. Guess what? The devil will let you believe that. He's going to encourage that with you. And believe it or not, there's even going to be some well-meaning people possibly in your church that's going to help you take ownership of those things. It just seems to always happen that way, that there's going to be somebody that's going to have the wrong word at the right time that's going to make you want to take ownership of those things again. And that's where you got to get up and say, "Woo, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I'm not my my own. I'm purchased with a price. I'm special. He loves me. You know, he may not, the way you're talking, he may not love you, but, and I love you, but, you know, you need to find you a place for being. Get away from me, Satan. I don't want to hear these things. And we got to be selective in how we just look at life. Not that we're just, everything's bubbly and positive. I can give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, I testified at church that I had this situation. They cut off my pay. As you guys know, I've been hurt on the job, and they pay me every week. And the day came, I was supposed to get a check, and they only paid me for a couple of days. And I got really upset, and I got downstairs, and I was going to be sending these emails to everybody, and I was going to straighten everybody out. And something just in my spirit just clicked, and I stopped and I prayed first. And then, you know, and then I sent the emails, hey, I didn't get a check, and I didn't get any response. But then the next day a check came for the balance of that week. So I'm testifying at church how when God takes control of things, how it works. Well, guess what? The next week I didn't even get a partial check. I didn't get any check at all. Now, I can get all upset and I can get mad, but see, I believed what I saw what happened before, and I gave God credit for it. And now I got to stand in faith and know that whatever's happening here, that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I can believe that God is working for me to make a better way to where I'm going to be prospered in this process, not hurt. Is that easy to do? No, but that's that walking by faith and not by sight. It's that thing to where you give God praise if it looks like it's going to rain when you had something you needed sunshine for. And when it does come, the sunshine, when you want sunshine, you praise him in too. You praise him all the time because he's promised all these things are working together for your good. If it never rained, which none of us like being out in the rain most of the time or working in the rain, but guess what? Everything would dry up and die. So God knows what he's doing. He's in control of everything. When you surrender your life to him and you say you're in control, guess what? You've given him responsibility. And he says, guess what? I want it. I love you, and I will take care of you. But it's that hard part of going from believing to walking in faith. But when you get to that point, and next week, Lord willing, and I'm hoping it's going to be that quick, I have a testimony of how God turned us around to share how I can look and see where God moved and things work together for my good. And it may not be quite that quick a work, but I know that I'm serving a God that he won't put more on me what I can bear. There's all these promises that God's given us to understand who he is and how he wants to do things for us. And he's waiting for us to ask him to move on these situations, not be where you got that extra 72 hours a week that you just do for whatever you want to do. You take some of that time and you give it to God. If it's important to me that my car is shiny, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to wax it and shine it however much time it takes to do it. And if your spiritual salvation, your spiritual being is important to you, guess what? You're going to put a little bit more time in your relationship with you and God. It's not going to be something on the back burner that he only gets that little 8 hours a week when you go to church, where you ask other people to pray for your problems. You don't even pray for yourself. You got to take and not just know who you are, but own it. Own who you are. I'm a child of the King. My relationship is based on my relationship with God. Who I am is based on my relationship with God. When you really get that firm inside of you, then you're going to see great things happen in your life. So, did I say that, Blog Talk Mom?
That's so good because it is a reflection of our relationship. It's not just information. It's not just religion. It's a revelation of the intimacy of falling in love with God, and he is our Savior. And like you mentioned before, we're his bride. You can't get any more a beautiful relationship than that, you know, exemplified. And it's just, I think we just shoot ourselves down. We listen to the accuser. We're our own worst enemy. And then from there, we feel so unworthy. And then everything happens bad. Woe me, you know. But like you've said all the way through this and many times before, and Joy Bells brings this out so well, that all of these things work together for our good. The good, the bad, and the ugly, they all do. And then when we believe that, it's just the load, the burden, or the oppression, it's more like an oppression, lifts off of us. And that's what God wants us to know. And some minister said in a sermon, the scripture about life is just a vapor. You know, it was compared to just like a little vapor of, you see a little candle or something. And we, but as humans, we want to put all of our energies and our planning and our feeling of security and everything in this life. And that is just, it's foolish, you know, because it's, this life is just a vapor. This is a place for us to be born again, to be ready to meet the Lord, either in death or whatever, the rapture, however God wants to do it, and to give our testimony. I do a lot of counseling, and I have, and not that I'm even intelligent enough to do that or whatever it takes, but I hear over and over, and you brought this out, how people get so bound in the things that happened when they were a child or things that happened before they came to God. That, as you said, I don't preach your sermon, but, you know, that's under the blood. It's just if we had never done it. We're justified. Just if I'd never done it. It is just as if I had never done it. And then we can use it, though, the information, to help others and say, yes, I was there, and Jesus came and brought me out of a horrible pit, set my foot on a solid rock. But you can't give that testimony if you're, oh, woe is me. I was in a horrible pit. Oh, give me a drink.
Yeah, and you couldn't give that testimony if you'd never been there.
Right. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's, oh, this is so good. I love you.
Well, thank you so much. Starla, did you have anything else for us before we go off there?
No, I thought it was really good.
Well, thank you so much. Well, folks, I hope y'all enjoyed the show. And if anybody else has anything you want to say, all you got to do is push that one on there. And even if you disagree with some of the comments that's made, you're welcome to share what you have on our show. That's why we call it Your Place. So, but we do thank all of you who listen each and every week. And this is one of those messages that I think, not because I did a good job with the way I present it, but just because of the meat of what's there in the Word, I think it's something that you should pass on to your friends that are seem to be burdened down all the time, and just everything, everybody's out to get them, and nothing seems to work their way. And just remind them to get to understand who you are, because I didn't realize how much I was bound by things that I was allowing to be there and didn't even know it. I just got comfortable as part of the load. I just carried it. And that's not what God ever said for us to do. And I'm not going to re-preach it again, so you guys can relax. But I do want to thank all of you guys. I'm sorry? Thought I heard someone come in there. But anyway, we do want you to come back and be with us again here next week. We love each and every one of you, and God bless you.